Welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sherrod here with you tonight. Joining us on the show, we have Dato' Ma Weng Kwai, a member of the Judicial Appointments Commission. Sherrod, you were itching to ask a question before the break.
I mean, is there a downside to being a judge? I mean, you get to wear those nifty wigs, but no more. Not even that now. What do you have to give up in order to take seriously this position that everybody's looking at for the delivery of justice in the country? What do you have to give up?
Okay, starting from the bar's perspective, a member of the bar, I think it's a crowning glory for any lawyer to aspire to join the bench. It's usually, constitutionally, you're eligible after 10 years of practice. But in practice, unless you've got 20, 25 years of experience, you will not be seriously considered. So here's a case of a person who has come a long way by way of practice. And after so many years, he would be very successful in practice and earning a lot of money. So by the time he joined the bench, one of the downsides is you will experience a pay cut, right? Because a JC who earns the same as a judge, just that his tenure is on contract, whereas the judge is permanent. But other than that, the salary is the same, the powers and duties are all the same. JC earns all in with all kinds of allowances, driver, petrol, maid and gardener is about 40,000 plus. So anyone who is out in the bar, a successful practitioner with more than 20, 25 years, will earn much more than that, double perhaps, per month. So be prepared for that. And it's so heartening to know that many of them, in fact all of them who come for an interview will say, I know this, I'm prepared to have a pay cut because I want to do that little bit to change things around and from within.
The question of the kind of life you can lead. I mean, if you're a successful lawyer, your friends and your clients who might now become people of, you know, within a particular case, right? In the corporate sector, in the professional sector, keeping that distance, is that important? How does that play a role? Because that often shapes public perception of collusion and influence.
Yes. So, better be safe than to be sorry. And the moment you know somebody has a case before you, whether a relative, close friend, or some client from yesteryears, the first thing you do is to disclose this to everybody and see whether there's any objection. But more importantly, the moment you feel there's a conflict of interest, the judge should decide to recuse himself.
Is there a check and balance for that, or is that just, you know, the discretion of the judge to recuse?
Well, the check and balance is that you make a disclosure, and the parties will then evaluate and see whether it's a serious conflict or something which happened so many years, not really that important. And they will say, no, there's no need to recuse, we carry on. Because the judge has to create a lot of trust, not only in the system, but in himself. Because you're talking about a person who is discharging his duties where the element of integrity and independence is valued very highly.
Right.
So when a judge thinks that there is a conflict, people will consider that. Or if he says there's no conflict, people will also consider that.
Is there gender diversity and equality within the Malaysian judiciary?
And also regional representation. I mean, do we have a bench that is very diverse?
Well, on gender, I will say, Melissa, the world is being taken over by women and Malaysia is no exception. And the judiciary is far from being the exception. I think right now, from the junior or the subordinate courts, right up to the courts, federal court included, I think women constitute almost, 50 plus percent, 60%?
Okay.
So that's a large number.
That's good.
We have a first lady judicial chief justice, for the whole judicial system. Diversity, in fact, it's in the Act itself that we should be looking for people from diverse backgrounds, be they academics, members of the bar, members of the judicial and legal service, because 50% of the applicants come from the service, people who have been in the public sector, judicial and legal service, so the magistrates, the sessions court judges.
Okay. Once but what they about are ethnic diversity? What about representations from Sabah and Sarawak? Have we covered that sufficiently?
Ethnic diversity, yes, that is a given, definitely. That's always considered to have some balance. And yes, Sabah and Sarawak, there will always be consideration for candidates from Sabah and Sarawak for appointment to the Sabah and Sarawak bench.
All right. In the last couple of minutes that we have left, what point or what would you like to the public to know about the Judicial Appointments Commission and the work that you're looking to do and push forward?
The JAC comprises of the 9 persons headed by the Chief Justice, and we meet once a month and discuss A to Z about the judiciary, and when there's time for filling up vacancies, then we go into the election selection mode to have the various interviews held and so on. Importantly, I think, is that the public must appreciate that there is little or I would say no judicial interference from the senior judges. It is really not correct to say that, oh, judges, senior judges, give a phone call or talk to the junior judges to decide, how to decide on the case. Speaking from my personal experience, 5 years on the bench, I never had a call on what to do and how to do a case, you know. And
will it take time to restore confidence in the judiciary? I know you were quoted saying there's a breath of fresh air within the judiciary in Malaysia since the last general election. Is that something that can be sustained regardless of who comes to power in the next general election? And also, is the public convinced of that? I mean, you're an insider saying that, but is the public convinced of that?
Oh, that's my hope, that this breath of fresh air will continue to be fresh and be there for a long time. Yes, I think this is a process, a slow process where people have to become aware, and hence this talk that we're having this evening, to make sure that people fully understand, there's also the complaints mechanism that we have. If anybody who is listening to this program feels that something is not right, please come and tell us.
Get in touch.
Yes, yeah. Come and get in touch with us, and if not with the courts directly, to JAC, because administration of justice is part of our ambit as well.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show this evening, sharing your insights. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. I'm Melissa Idris, with me Sharad Kitten, signing off for this episode of Consider This. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.